Bible reading this morning comes from James, and Brother Rees is going to read it for us. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 14 to 26. So let's stand together for the reading of God's word. James chapter 2, 14 to 26.
Stand together for the reading of God's word. James chapter 2, commencing at verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and what are you saying to them? Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by work when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And God will bless the reading of his precious word. You may be seated.
Thank you. Faith without works is dead, the Bible says. Someone that believes God and has true believing faith is someone that will show it in their actions. Now Nathan, he's here for an exhibit number one. You drive a truck apparently.
Yes.
What does the truck usually have in it?
Eggs.
Eggs. So how many eggs? You don't know. They're already scrambled,
thousands,
are they?
Thousands.
Okay. Imagine if his boss came in and said, are you ready to go, Nathan? Oh, yeah, I'm ready to go, boss. Yeah, I really believe in driving this truck. I've got real faith. And so the boss opens the door and there's no eggs in the truck. What's he going to think of this man? Well, he'd probably sack him straight away. There's plenty of eggheads that can deliver eggs. No, sorry, brother. But no, dear brother Nathan, I'm sure you'd have it loaded, clean and loaded, ready to go, amen? Okay, you can be seated. This picture that we have in this particular chapter,
can we just turn it on?
We're going to turn it on. Okay, where is it?
There now that you've given that illustration.
Ah, now you didn't want to be in the sermon. I said you're going to be in the sermon. That made him ashamed. Okay. A beautiful picture here. Again, this illusions of the ocean. A beautiful picture here in the book of James is a vessel. A vessel that is supposed to be loaded and ready to go on another trip. That when the new owner comes in, and he says, well, are we ready to go? What's going on? And the deckhands and people that are at the wharf, people that are supposed to load the vessel on, he looks in, there's nothing in there. Oh, well, you know, I have great faith in you, Captain, and this trip, and I like the idea of the trip. It's a nice place we're going to. But where's the load, you know? There's nothing on board. And this is a picture of many people, supposed professing Christians. When you actually inspect, there's nothing on board. There's no works. There's nothing to follow it through. And I'm sure the boat owner would not be very excited about that, because you need provisions for the crew and all the rest of it before you go on one of these trips. And you've got to get the basics on board in order to be able to do the trip. So it is that you put some water on board, you get bread and fruit and vegetables and meat. All those things have got to be on board if you're going to go on a trip. Same with the Christian life. Spiritually speaking, these things should be seen in the believer. If he says that he has faith in God, then he should be bathed in the water of God's word. If he says he has faith in God, then he should be in the bread. The Bible is spiritual bread. And he also would want to be in the meat. The meat is that meat of the word, whereby you may grow. The vegetables speak of the nutrients that are necessary for survival. Keep your greens in your diet, folks. Keep your greens. Oh, I quit eating the greens. I didn't like greens. Well, you don't like greens, then you don't like your kidneys. You don't like your stomach. Eat the greens and stay healthy. Vegetable and fruit and so forth. All those things are normal and are seen in a normal and healthy body. The same with the Spirit in the things of God. They're all seen in a normal, healthy, spiritual person. The working of God, the fruit of the Spirit. All those things should be seen and evidenced in the life of the believer. But yet so many profess Christ and they deny the truths of God's word. They deny the commandments of God. And so forth. And they want to just do their own thing. Had a charismatic lad say to me, I said, well, what about, doesn't it say, thou shalt not kill? And what about this one? Thou shalt not commit adultery? And it was quoting the commandments. Oh, he said, oh, we don't believe those things anymore. They're Old Testament. Yeah, but they're the nature of God, the holiness of God, the nature of God, the basic things that are seen for the Christian life. And if you don't see those things on board, there's something terribly wrong. The big push in the charismatic is the Spirit. Yeah, well, now they've gone on to the other Spirit, the one you get out of the Hunter Valley, the wrong kind of Spirit. And they're all boasting how many bottles they can store in their wine cellar now. And they're on about those things when they don't have the fruit of the Spirit. They don't have the water of God's word. And they don't have the holiness that should typify the believer. You see, when we receive Christ, we are new creatures in Christ. We begin to behave like Christ, to look like Christ, to live like, to speak like Christ. And our lives are transformed by the inner working of the Spirit of God, so that these fruit are seen in our lives and others can see the fruit. And according to the book of James, if you can't see the fruit, then there's no genuine faith. If you can't see the results of the faith, there's something wrong. Jesus said that to the Pharisees. He said, woe unto you Pharisees, with their whited sepulchres and everything, and made everything look good on the outside, but on the inside there was no fruit. He pronounced a woe against them. He spoke concerning them that they hold the truth in unrighteousness. And the two don't go together. You either love the Lord and he produces holiness and righteousness within, or you don't love the Lord and the righteousness, his holiness, is not seen there, and therefore the truth of the word is not evident through that life. and it's held in, it's cloaked over. They're certainly not going to put the Bible or put their faith up on a hillside where it can be seen on the top of a hill. They're going to hide it. They're going to hide their bushel under their lamp under a bushel. They're not going to be seen. And so many folk that are like that are against public and confrontational witnessing. Oh no, you can't say that to people. They'll think that they're going to hell. Well, isn't it true? They are. Obviously, there's a nice way to tell them. I had a friend of mine and we went door knocking together. We didn't hang out together very long. And somebody would knock at open the door and I'd say, oh, that's a nice garden you got there, or a nice house you got there. And he'd say, yep, and it's all going to burn. Whoa, and if you haven't got Christ, you'll burn in hell. Well, you know what the response was, don't you?
Bang.
Fortunately, he got out with his nose. He had a big nose too. Anyway. But yeah, his idea of witnessing, that was his idea of confrontational witnessing. And yes, he was the one that got confronted, not the sinner. Because they rejected his message. And they rejected the messenger first. And secondly, they rejected his message. And one thing about witnessing and door-to-door work, you've got to be nice. After all, the Bible says, love your enemies. Even though they're at enmity with God and you, we are to reach out in love towards these people and show them the love of Christ, and they'll be willing to take a leaflet if you're nice. And some people thought I was a bit of a compromiser. For nearly 30 years, we went to the homes in our area. And we went back and back and back. And some were saying, oh, you might overvisit them, brother. These spiritual eggs, you know, you might overvisit them, brother. Said, no, if you visit them properly, you'll make friends. And you'll begin to be a pastor in the community generally. And you'll get to know people. And when they're looking for a church, they'll pull out one of those leaflets and give you a call. And you're likely to see them sitting up on a Sunday. Not the following Sunday when you visited them. It might be a year later. We had a lady whose husband was very anti-God, and he was nasty to her. She had children, she wanted to save the marriage. So she put all of the tracts. She had read a tract, she had received the Lord. So she packed the tracts up and put them in the back of a drawer somewhere where he never went. Well, the day came that she did come to church. Something happened to him, whether he was in hospital, I don't know what happened. But she was able to come that Sunday. And she said, you know, Pastor, I've kept every tract that your church ever put in. That's why I didn't use the same tract over and over and over again. Every time we tried to give out a new title, which was faithful to the same old gospel, no compromising there, same old gospel, but something that was interesting to read. She kept every one of those tracts. I was blown away. We were talking about a 4 or 5 year period of time now. And she had a pile of them. Incredible. But it shows what that will do. But there are some, no, no. We don't believe in confrontational counselling or confrontational soul winning. If you really talk to those people, you find that in the end, ultimately, they don't believe in any kind of soul winning. Because all soul winning is confrontational. The first response most people have to the gospel is rejection. The first First time the salesman, you go into the Audi dealer, they've got a young couple now, looking real fancy today. Is that yours or borrowed? You drove in this fancy car. And if I walk, hello, if I walked in there and he started, you know, I'm in the second hand department, walk in there and he starts pushing. The first thing he starts pushing at you, what are you going to do? Oh, no, mate, you know, I'm interested in this one over here. Might be a right lemon, but you will automatically, it's the rebel nature, you'll automatically reject. And people are like that with the gospel. They'll automatically, many times, reject on the first hearing. And it won't be until years later, someone else, at work or another friend, gets saved and shows them a testimony of works and the real Christian life, that they get saved. So the scriptures here teach the importance